right? There's a push. You sort of get this feeling that there is this negative undercurrent of events in Yaakov Avinu's life that are constantly pushing and pushing and pushing him to move. What would have happened if those negative events were not there? Unclear. Would Yaakov have ever left the house of Lavan if Lavan wouldn't have turned on him? Would Yaakov have ever left Shechem if the entire story with Dinah and what his sons did in the city of Shechem, would he ever actually gotten up and left Shechem? Would Yaakov have ever left Eretz Yisrael? Should he have? And gone down to Mitzrayim, had his son Yosef not been there? Unclear. I don't know how to answer all those questions. I only know what happens because these things did happen. Right? But there is clearly this pattern of movement in Yaakov Avinu's life, movement being sort of caused by a practical negative impetus in Yaakov Avinu's life. Yes? Okay. Now, what is really interesting is the fact that sort of underlying all of these things is not only sort of a practical, again, what we've seen already, impetus to get Yaakov Avinu to go, but at the same time, there seems to also always be some sort of divinely inspired and or nationally inspired undercurrent that also keeps Yaakov moving through his life. And I want to go back now through these four moves and see where does the national or divine undercurrent come out. Okay? So let's go all the way back to Yaakov's first running away. Go back to Perek of Zion. Actually, the beginning of Perek of Chet. Rivka Imenu sends Yaakov Avinu on his way and sends him on his way quickly. Why? Because she is afraid for his life. Because she is afraid that Esav will kill him. But what's interesting is that when Yaakov actually leaves at the beginning of Perek of Chet, tell me what this sounds like to you. Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov vayivarech oto. See running? Vayitzavehu vayomer lo lo tikach isha mibnot kena'an. Kum lech padena aram beitab lech padena aram. What happened to running away? Yaakov tells him, you know, walk, don't run to padena aram. Beitab etuel avi imecha. וקח לך משם אישה מבנות לבן אחי אימך. וקל שקי יברך אותך ויפרך וירבך והיית לקהל עמים. ויתן לך את ברכת אברהם לך וזרעך איתך למשתך etc. etc. וישלח יצחק את יעקב וילך פדנה ארם. When Yaakov actually goes, is he running? You don't get that sense, right? You get the sense that he's going. What's he going for? What does Yitzchak send him to Lavan for? To find a wife. Why is that significant, to find a wife? Because we're talking about Yaakov Avinu. For Yaakov Avinu to find a wife, it really means he has to find, well, whomever Imenu, right? Zelostam that he needs a shidduch. He needs a shidduch. He needs to find the next female, Eim Yisrael. And this is all, of course, with the bracha, particularly Birchat Avraham, given by Yitzchak to Yaakov at this moment in history. So Yaakov, on the one hand, is going because Esav wants to kill him. And on the other hand, what is he going for? He's going because he needs to find a wife in order to properly fulfill the divine promise. What divine promise? Of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. That's what Yitzchak tells him himself as he sends him on his way. So again, there's that practical negative impetus of you better run for your life, Yaakov. At the same time, you can also, you are going to find a wife, which also basically equals Okay? So everybody sees how both of these factors are sort of operating here? On the one hand, Yaakov is running because Esav wants to kill him. On the other hand, essentially, Yitzchak is giving him the bracha and saying, go. Go move on to the next stage. Go find a wife so that you can begin together to move towards the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. What happens next? As we know, as we already said, Yaakov goes to the house of Laban. Gets stuck there for 14 years. Eventually, we get the sense that what actually moves Yaakov out? Laban's attitude. But what else do we know? Abigail, and this is what you mentioned. We also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much behind this. Because right after, skip ahead to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Bet, Vayar Yaakov et Pnei Lavan v'inei neni imo kitmo shoshom, Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov. Boom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, sort of sticks his 2 cents in. And he says, Shuv el Eretz Avotecha ulemoladetecha ve'ye imach. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gotta go. It's true that Laman doesn't like you anymore. So maybe that alone would have been enough to get you moving out of Haran. But, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in case there was any doubt, I am telling you, now is the time to go. And by the way, what happens next? Yaakov calls to Rachel and Leah and tells them it's time to go. And what does he say to them? Why is he leaving? Pasukei. Vayomer lahen, ro'e anochi et pnei avichen, ki einenu elai kitmol shelshom. Why, says Yaakov to his wives, do we need to go? Because your father is treating me differently. Things are not what they used to be between me and your father. Ve'elokei avi haya imadi. And also, says Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me last night and told me it's time to go. So once again, what do we see here? Why does Yaakov Avinu leave Haran? Because he has to. But in the same breath, one pasuk later, what is also happening? Hashem tells him it's time to go. So once again, there's a practical push. Unfortunately, a negative practical push. And then there seems to be the stamp of approval from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is HaKadosh Baruch Hu operating behind the scenes and telling Yaakov, now's the time. Moving on along, when Yaakov needs to run from Shechem, end of Perek Lamed Aleph, well, beginning of Perek Lamed Hey. So again, the Torah doesn't even tell us why Yaakov actually needs to leave Shechem. That's obvious from the story. But at the very beginning of Perek Lamed Hey, who comes on the scene? Vayomer Elokim El Yaakov. Kum Alei Beit El V'Shev Sham V'Aseh Sham Mizbeach L'Kel HaNira Elecha V'Varchecha Mipnei Esav Achicha. What does Hashem tell Yaakov Avinu once again? Where should you go, Yaakov? Go back to Beit El. Did Yaakov need that message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yaakov just went through this horrible tragedy in Shechem. There was no way he was going to stay there. And yet, Hashem comes to him and tells him, time to go. Time to leave. Fast forward now to Yaakov Avinu's descent to Mitzrayim. Again, what is pulling him down there? A lack of food, and of course, the sun he hasn't seen for 22 years. And yet, once again, Vayomer Elokim Yisrael b'mar'ot ha'layla, Pasuk Bet, as Yaakov is mamash taking his first steps down to Mitzrayim, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. Vayomer Anochi Hakel Elokei Avicha, Al Tira Mirda Mitzrayima, Kilogoy Gadol Asimcha Sham, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayima, Vanochi Alcha Gamalo. V'yosef yeshit yado alinecha. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do as Yaakov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim? He comes to him and he says to him, what's the theme? What's the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message? Al tira. Don't be afraid. Why does Hashem have to tell him that? And that's why this is not really a fair term. Yaakov Avinu wasn't running to Mitzrayim, although, again, from the practical perspective, Yaakov very much was running to Mitzrayim. He needs food. He needs to stay alive. And by the way, he very desperately wants to see his long-lost son. So from the practical perspective, he's running to Mitzrayim. But from the national perspective, Yaakov Avinu is not running. Why is he not running? Because Yaakov knows that his entrance into Mitzrayim marks the beginning of the very long and arduous galut. And so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of has to not only pull him down with the positive practical impetus. This is the only positive impetus, is seeing his son Yosef. Why in this case is it positive and all of the other pushes are negative? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that what he's pushing Yaakov into is a very negative national event, the beginning of Galut Mitzrayim. So, and again, once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, you're doing the right thing. You need to go to Mitzrayim. However, don't be afraid. I will be with you. So now going back to the analysis of Yaakov Avinu. Passive or active? What do you want to say? Okay, so it seems to be that there is a passivity on the part of Yaakov Avinu, and therefore a constant push, again, that almost appears to be practical. It appears to be sort of life circumstances, but operating underneath it all, the push is not really just about some life circumstances. The push is actually coming from up above. The push is coming from up above to move Yaakov along through the stages of his life and, unfortunately, ultimately, to end up in the throes of Mitzrayim. Why do things have to happen this way? We had to get down to Mitzrayim. That was bound to be. We learned that all the way back in Brit Bein HaBetarim. So we know that's where we're headed. Does it have to be so complicated? Does it have to be so difficult? HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't just, you know, okay, so there were no planes at the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have just, you know, swept us up in a, I don't know, nice warm blanket, helped us down to Mitzrayim and eased us into Galut Mitzrayim? Yaakov had to suffer like this? Strange, no? Anyone have any ideas? Any thoughts? I'm getting a lot of participation today. Thank you very much. Yes, I want to know, why did Yaakov have to suffer to this extent to ultimately get him through his life?
Because it makes the gula that we're going to come out of that much better.
You're saying because we suffered before?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we can make that shikul. I'd love to think we could, but I don't know. Zahava said that maybe our suffering would be less in, ultimately, in the galut if there was...
No, I was saying that our ge'ula would be much greater.
Because of the suffering. Okay? Even that shikul, I don't know if we can make. Maybe. Yes, Rachel?
If he went straight to Mitzrayim, he missed the whole purpose of all the national reasons why.
Okay. Maybe Yaakov Avinu, this is problematic too, what you're saying, I think, and I'd like to try to answer this question, but Yaakov would have missed the mark, I think is what you're saying, meaning he would have missed all of these marks if he hadn't been pushed along by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in a certain sense almost strengthens the question, right? Why does he always have to be pushed? Why can't he just go? Go b'shalva. Go b'sheket. Go b'nachat. Right? In other words, he's always being negatively pushed, pushed, pushed. Yes, Mirab.
I think that all means like personal, I guess, gullets in his life, made, like, shapes his character.
Okay. Okay.
Events.
I agree.
Yeah. So something came out of them, and that's
true. Again, why he didn't get the message like earlier on in the process, in a certain sense, right? In other words, like, one could even argue, okay, he had to run one time, and run a second time, and run a third, like, come on. Maybe you gotta, like, think ahead. Keep yourself moving.
Like,
yes, I know. And that is what I'm trying to address. Okay? Yes, Abigail.
So I think that it's actually like it gives a lesson for us to learn, because all the Avot's lives like give a lesson for us to learn. So it's, there's like this kind of double world in the sense that there's like practical, normal, natural things that happen to us. There's always that like divine, and there's always like Yad Hashem behind it. And so what we have to see through Yaakov's life is that, yeah, like practically Esau wanted to kill him, but yeah, there was like something divine and natural.
Okay, I don't disagree with anything you said, and I'm, as my Shana Betters know from studying Sefer Bereshit with me, that's what Sefer Bereshit is all about, right? Is the dual life of the Avot and Imahot, of living as normal, natural people, and also living these supernatural lives of the Avot and Imahot. But again, why did it have to be so complicated? Why did it have to be so negative? Why did Yaakov have to suffer so much? Why did Hashem have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing him along? Okay, and I want to share with you, if I really try to, actually, but I couldn't get it to work. I want to share with you an amazing medrash, perhaps one of my favorites, okay? And I really tried to blow it up for you. I want it to be the entire size of this paper, because I wanted you to keep it and remember it for life. And I think, again, in terms of this whole idea of the fast, being for Fishfush Ma'aseinu, and looking at ourselves and our own. Does everybody have a paper, by the way? Everybody have one? Yes? Okay. So I want you to take a look at this midrash. And I want you, yes, anyone else not have it?
Oh, wait,
the little one on the bottom. The little midrash on the bottom, which I wanted to try to make really, really big, but I couldn't get it to work. Do you have it? Here we go. Amar of Acha. B'sha'a shehatzadikim yoshevim b'shalva. U'mevakshim leishev b'shalva ba'olam hazeh. Hasatan ba u'mekatreg. Amar lo dayan shehu mitukan lahem l'olam haba. Ela shehem mevakshim leishev b'shalva ba'olam hazeh. Teidalcha shu kain, Yaakov Avinu, shebikesh leishev b'shalva ba'olam hazeh, nizdaveg lo sitno shel Yosef, etc., etc. What is the message of this midrash? Says the midrash, any tzaddik in this world who wants to sit in peace and quiet, and wants to, and I'll paraphrase the midrash, and wants to coast through Olam Hazeh, wants to kick back and relax, not be bothered in Olam Hazeh, the Satan will come. Hasatan ba umikatrein. The Satan comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lodayan shumitukan lahem olam haba. Is it not enough for this tzaddik? He has his life, quote unquote, or we will call it his afterlife, is all set for him. He is destined to tremendous olam haba, sheket v'shalva be'olam haba, actually. Ela she'im mevakshim li'she'im v'shalva be'olam hazeh. Does a tzaddik have a right to sit back, to kick back and enjoy Olam Hazeh? Because after all, he or she is going to get the ultimate enjoyment of Olam Haba. And going to rephrase or paraphrase the message of this midrash. this world, Olam Hazeh, is not a time for rest. It's not a time for kicking back and relaxing. And I am not chas v'shalom implying that that's what Yaakov Avinu had in mind. The Medrash uses the tragedies of Yaakov's life to prove this point. That this world and the world that we live in is not meant to be a breeze. It's not meant to be for things to be easy. It is wrought with challenges. It is wrought with circumstances that are often difficult. And the message of those challenges and the message of this Midrash is that this world, this life that we are all living, and we will continue to live, as Rat Hashem Ad Me'av Esrim, is meant to be difficult, is meant to be constantly filled with movement, is meant to be constantly filled with different circumstances that take us from place to place to place to place. And we don't want the Satan, as the Satan clearly did in the life of Yaakov Avinu. We do not want the Satan to come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, hey, you see that girl down there? She's amazing. Why is she so passive? Why isn't she doing anything? Why isn't she getting out there and going from one task to the next and moving from place to place and changing the world and doing all the things that she's supposed to do? She's going to have the ultimate rest. She's going to have, Ezrat Hashem, after 120 years of life on this earth, she's going to have the ultimate sheket v'shalva in Olam Haba. This world here that we live in today, my friends, is not for sheket v'shalva. It's not meant for rest. It's not meant for staying in one place. Certainly not figuratively. This world is meant for movement. And again, it's the Midrash that uses these examples. It's the Midrash that uses Yaakov Avinu's life as the paradigmatic example of someone who, lo aleinu, needed to be moved from one point to the next in his life with negativity, with negative circumstances. And according to the Midrash, how do I understand that? The Satan was always on Yaakov Avinu's back. The Satan was always coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, why is he stagnant? Why is he staying there? Why isn't he moving? Why isn't he hustling and bustling? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you might be right. Let's move him along. Let's move him along. And always, because it's the Satan's idea, it's always negative. He's always being pushed along with a negative circumstance. Again, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's room to prove this from the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim on Yaakov when it comes to getting him down to Mitzrayim, because Yaakov really doesn't want to go. Because Yaakov understands what it's about. And this, my favorite, one of my favorites, Midrashim, is here to teach us that that too, that's the message for us from Yaakov Avinu's life. Never, never should we be stagnant. Our fast today is about being mefashvesh b'maaseinu. Look at yourself and ask yourself. You should be asking yourself this always. Have I stagnated? Am I stuck in one place? Or am I moving? Am I doing all of the tafkidim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me here into Olam HaZeh for? And because I know for sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put me into Olam HaZeh to rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put me into this world to take it easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me into this world to accomplish, to move, to shake, to change the world. And if I am not doing that, chas v'shalom, I know what's going to happen. The Satan is going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, that person down there is not fulfilling his potential. That person over there is not moving, is not making a difference, is not changing as quick as he or she possibly can. And lest we come to a point, chas v'shalom, where the Satan is going to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to move us along with negative circumstances, as we see from Yaakov Avinu, we want to be certain that we are moving along the trajectory of our own life and our own potential, hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, without any need for the push that Yaakov Avinu needed. Take the time today, my friends, a day of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a day of fasting, when we put aside our physical needs and we focus on ourselves and we focus on the process of tshuva, as we saw from the halachot of the Rambam. And let's ask ourselves, how do we move forward? How do we make sure we are fulfilling all that we can do in Olam Hazeh without, chas v'shalom, the Satan breathing down our backs? Wishing everybody a tzom, as we say in Eretz Yisrael. We don't say an easy fast. It's not meant to be an easy fast. It's meant to be a tzom mo'il, is what we say, which is a fast that does what it's supposed to do, a meaningful fast, one in which we are mefashvesh v'maaseinu, chozrim b'tshuva, and bezrat Hashem, maximizing on all of our potential. Tzom mo'il. I think Rabbi Waxman is next, right?